David's Bowie versus Dillion. Is this you when I'm glowy? Am I killing? I hope it's not a blowy or a villain. Oh, it's time for Bowie versus Dillion.
Welcome once again to Bowie versus Dillion. I'm Charlie and I like Bowie.
I'm Jake and I love Bob Dillion.
Hey, we've got a rare show for you.
Yeah.
And a rare show in being that it's a show at all.
Yeah.
And that's rare. But it's extra rare, double rare, because we're in person.
Absolutely. One of the few times in our podcasting career, which
know,
is now long,
like,
and expansive.
There's like five.
That we have ever done such a thing. And this is a very special one because we're vacationing with our families together.
Woo!
Yeah, they're not here right now, but they probably will come and, you know,
interrupt in hilarious and adorable ways.
Aww.
We'll see. We'll see. Hey, let's cue up that theme song.
Let's cue it up.
That was a good theme song.
It's such a good theme song.
Oh, it's a good one.
Oh, man.
Good
one. Yeah, it's
I could listen
fresh
to that.
The day I made it up.
I could listen to that easily 70 more times.
You know what? This is our 70th episode, isn't
it? As far
it?
As we know. We're pretty sure that this is our 70th.
I think that's
we
right.
could
I think
be
I've
wrong
been,
about that.
I think I've been keeping track.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it's also the worst one. You don't want to know why, Charlie?
I do want to know why. Why did you tell me?
This is the very worst one, not because you won't enjoy it, but because it's about Bob Dillion and David Bowie's worst songs. They each have a few.
A few.
Mm-hmm.
A handful.
Mm-hmm. And instead of ranking them like we would normally do and relying on each other's expertise to do such a thing, we're going to let each other rank how bad they are in order. So I will be ranking David Bowie's worst songs as presented by Charlie, and Charlie will be ranking Bob Dillion's worst songs as presented by me.
I would like to point out that in addition to this being about the worst songs, it is easily the least prepared I've been for a single episode of Bowie vs. Dillion.
By far.
Ever.
In true
I've got a list
fashion.
Of songs in front of me, and that's all I've got.
Me too.
We're just flying by the seat of her pants here.
I've got two
which
playlists.
Which is a weird phrase. I don't know what that means.
It must mean something.
I don't know. I was thinking, this came up between my wife and the other day. It's flying by the seat of her pants. My best guess was, I was thinking of like stagecraft, like, you know, like Peter Pan in theater, you know. And
that's
like,
pretty good.
Maybe your harness isn't fully on, so you're just flying by the seat of your pants. That's the best I got. I don't know.
I actually can't think of anything better than
that.
My first thought was maybe like early biplanes or something, and they would hook you to the seat.
Oh.
So you don't fly out.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Die.
I don't know. This episode's really hitting it to start things off.
Hey, two minutes and 30 seconds of pure gold. Just like all of these great songs we're about to present to you.
Now, we're going to give you a chance during today's episode. Mm-hmm. There's a little listener interaction.
Dear listener. Dear listener interaction.
Dear listener interaction, because we love each and every one of you, especially Bob Dillion, who we know is listening right now.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Bob, we know you're on tour somewhere. Thanks for listening. It's the least we could do after we listen to some or all of your Radio Time Theme Hour episodes. So thanks.
So we're going to give you a chance to pause the episode, go to your streaming service of choice, and try to find some of these songs. And I know I have at least one that you're not going to find on standard streaming. You'll probably have to go to YouTube.
What?
But there's a story behind that, and we're going to save that story for later.
Oh, I want you to give us that story now. I can't wait.
You can wait, you will.
All right.
You can and you will, Jake.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, let's kick it off with some dishonorable mentions.
Yes.
Jake, you want to bring us home?
Sure. I'm just going to go in chronological order. So we have 10 songs each total, but five of them we're going to make each other listen to in their entirety, which will be excruciating, painful. This time, we're just going to give each other a taste. This is kind of like 10 through 6 of Bob Dillion's worst songs. And number 10, in no particular order between 10 and 6, is a little song called If Dogs Run Free.
All right, my reaction immediately to that song.
What? We didn't even. Oh, did I say If Dogs Run Free?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm already screwing it up. It's Dogs Run Free. You go ahead. React quick.
Okay, my first reaction was that the piano started up, and I was like, hey, this is okay. And it took a little while for it to be really bad, but then Bob started making noises with his mouth.
If dogs run free, and that, why not?
That just destroyed it, and I started laughing really loudly.
Mm-hmm. And that's all you have to say about that. The other thing I'll say is that we have a personal connection to this song, you and I, Chaz, because your wife, Claudia, found a children's book at the library that is based on If Dogs Run Free by Bob Dylan.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that's that.
Mm-hmm. All right, my first dishonorable mention is from Bowie's esteemed side project, Tin Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Which regular listeners to the blog will know how much I love I have for Tin Machine.
I thought this was the best of episode for just a sec.
And this is an episode that got its own little like segment and whatever in the year 1989. Mm-hmm. It's a little song called Crack City.
Oh, you know what, Chaz? I was thinking about doing some crack today. Yeah. I just want you to know that. Yeah. I'm going to be completely vulnerable with you. But then I listened to Crack City and about the assholes with the buttholes for brains and such. And now I've been warned off for good. I don't think I'm going to try crack today.
This song is bad, but really what makes it is it has the single worst lyric that Bowie ever wrote, as far as I know. Yeah. And that is talking about drug dealers, referring mm-hmm. them as mm-hmm. asshole. They're just a bunch of assholes with buttholes for their brains.
I wonder why he didn't go the other way around. Like, why aren't they buttholes with assholes for brains?
Maybe that was in the fourth verse that they ended up removing, probably.
Also, that song really rocks. It really does.
That's all Tin Machine does.
All right, the next honorable mention for Bob Dylan is off of his 1983 album called Infidels. This is called Union Sundown. Yeah, we listen to about 30 seconds. That goes on for another like 5.5 minutes. What's your first impressions? Run with Wonder, Union Sundown. This is Bob Dylan's screed against globalism in the mid-80s and how his shirts and his shoes are made in different places. They're not made here. The Union is experiencing a sundown, you know, in Reaganite America. It's just really heavy-handed. It's like, this is our greatest...
Is it more heavy-handed or less than Crack City?
Oh, great question. Oh my God, glad we paired these together.
It can't be more heavy-handed than Crack City.
It probably It can't be, but we're talking about probably America's greatest living or otherwise, you know, allegorical songwriter.
Yeah,
he's just like, my flag was made in North Korea or whatever. So there you have it. That was Union Sundown.
All right, well, let's key up our next Bowie song, which is a personal just... Like, I just hate this song so much, and I don't understand why other people don't hate it as much as me.
Oh, good.
It's called Thursday's Child. It's the opening track from Hours from 1999.
I think that's the first truly bad song we've heard here. Like, just straight up. My first question is what year did this come out? I think I have a rough estimate, and it's the wrong year for what it sounds
like. I did say it earlier, but I said it pretty quickly. What's your guess?
So my guess is based on having talked with you about this for like 70 episodes of David Bowie. But what it sounds like is late 80s adult oriented rock. But I know that it's not, and so tell us what it is.
It's late 90s adult-oriented rock. 1999.
But it's so synthy. It's so synthy. Big, like, pad slab of synth.
It's so smoothy. Yeah, I know. Another great thing about this, just in general, is that it was released as a single. Jake, please contain yourself.
Restrain yourself. Well, you were trying to find, when you were messing around on Apple Music there, you were trying to find which exact version you wanted. Which seems to indicate that there's many more versions than what are necessary.
How many versions do I own? I own a live version, live of the Kit Kat version.
Great.
Radio edit.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Regular one. Oh, another regular one? Could you regular ones for some reason?
Love that one.
Another radio edit.
Yep.
The Omnicrom, the Nomad Soul version, Rock Mix.
Yep.
Another Omnicrom, the Nomad. I don't know why I have doubles of some of these.
Well,
and then there's a YOLO Tango song popped up for some reason. Not sure why.
You need all that stuff. That song was really bad, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'll say. I'm going to try to match that. I think I'm going to make Charlie laugh with this one. This is from the 1978 live album by Bob Dylan, Live at Budokan. This is him reimagining, let's say, and quote, end quote, a song called Mr. Tambourine Man.
Hey, there's a lot going on that song, and none of it should be going on.
Okay, so what's your favorite bad part of that?
It's his voice. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hey, because
he's just like wildly off pitch to start things.
Yeah, he's badly off pitch. So this is the Live at Budokan album was sharp-eared listeners will remember that Bob Dylan thought for just a sec that he was going to move to Las Vegas and be the new Elvis. And so he did a massive world tour in 1978 in which he was reimagining and reorchestrating all of his songs. He went back to the well and he just, but he reimagined them
all. But the well was dry.
The well, he poisoned the well. The well was rich. The well was deep and clear.
There's a lot in there. You just didn't want
it. And he just took some strychnine or something. He just dumped it all in there. And so all of the songs are either in like reggae arrangements or different ways. He had this huge band. He was wearing these white suits and everything like that. Like he kind of looked like Alice Cooper mixed with Elvis, mixed with a very drunk Bob Dylan.
Amazing.
Incredible.
All right. Next up. It's the band So Nice, I'm naming them twice. Woo. Tin Machine is back.
Oh, I missed them.
This is from their second album called Tin Machine 2.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this song by rights is worse than some of them that are in the top five.
Okay.
But it was not written or sung by David Bowie himself. It was another member of the band.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe it was Hunt Sales, if I'm remembering off the top
of
my head.
Is he the tattoo back guy? No, that's the drummer.
Yep. Oh, he is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember. Mm-hmm. I got it. Nailed it.
This song it's really something, Jake. It's from Tin Machine 2. It's called Sorry.
Chaz, I just want you to say, I'm sorry for playing me that song.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you or hit you, one of those two.
Chaz, I don't accept your apology. It doesn't matter how many times you sing it. That sucked so bad.
Oh man, I was really shocked to bring it up and find out that it's only 3.5 minutes long, because I swear that song is 8 minutes long.
Well, so Chaz, you know, we're not listening to the whole Dishonorable Mention songs in a row or anything like that. And so he started it off, he's kind of skipped to when the guy, our friend Hunt, starts singing, I'm sorry, and then he skipped ahead about 2.5 minutes to the end, and it sounded exactly the same. Mm-hmm. There was no variation whatsoever.
No.
Again, I don't accept your apology. That was terrible.
Nor should you.
That was terrible. All right. Well, I don't know if I can match that. That was...
it was really something.
It was really bad. Mm-hmm. It was really bad. And what was Bowie's contribution? He was playing some guitar on that one? Some rhythm?
Some guitar. Some rhythm? He's probably doing rhythm guitar on that.
Strumming
baby.
A little bit?
He's probably doing some backing vocals too, I think. I haven't listened to the song enough times to really key that in because I don't want to.
It makes me wonder if he was recording that song, Bowie that is, and he's just hanging out in the back and he's like, I've made a terrible mistake. Tin Machine needs to end now, and I need to do it in a very weird way.
This is why we're not having Tin Machine 3. It's because of I'm sorry.
Hey, there's still time. There's still time. There's got to be some outtakes.
Oh, there is. There's a whole album's worth that hasn't been released.
It'd be great if Tin Machine revived Tin Machine without David Bowie. And they were like, Like, would the Beatles find some, like, field recording of John Lennon singing a song and they...
Wouldn't they just do that again?
Yeah.
AI.
I'll tell you what was not made with artificial intelligence.
Or any intelligence whatsoever.
Bob Dylan's next song from the infamous 1973 self-titled, but not by him, album... Bob Dylan, this is A Fool Such As I.
All right, so Jake.
Personally,
I love his Kermit Croon.
I do too.
when he goes
but that doesn't mean that it's not bad. It means that. I love his three backup singers, two or three at a
How
time. Which, well, he was dating two or three at a time. So there's that. That's
problematic.
That's like this is goes to our discussion about how many self portraits there were. This was one of them. These were the cutting room floor songs for two albums that were already cutting room floor albums. And he just was like, you know what I want to sing today, everybody? I want to sing a song called "A Fool Such as I." And then they ripped it. They ripped it off, never
and
thinking
they found
that they would
it.
See.
There's a custodian, a yep. proud custodian, yep. who was sweeping the floor months later, and he found something sticking out like right behind a cabinet, and he looked at it and he went, oh, it's a Bob Dylan song.
I'm so glad I swept this cutting room
recorded on the tape.
My one
it
job.
It looks like it's all caught up, but I'm going to tape it back together and find somebody to release it right now.
My one job is to sweep this cutting room floor. I got paid handsomely for it, and here I have found something so good that I have to share it with the world.
Oh, baby. All right. So after my last two truly painful contributions, let's up things a little. Let's get the laughter quotient.
Can we lighten it up a bit in here?
And we're going to go to Bowie's worst album by most measures, Never Let Me Down, from 1987.
Love that one.
And the song Shining Star, Making My Love, which notably, Jake, includes a rap.
Yeah.
By Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, that's right.
The actor Mickey Rourke, you heard me correctly.
So I think we've talked about David Bowie not remembering recording, you know, the entire album.
Station to station,
because he was on all the drugs. I think Mickey Rourke rapping right there, there's 0% chance that he remembers doing that. Wasn't he on all the drugs back then?
Probably. Yeah. Isn't he now? I don't know.
I have no idea. I haven't talked to him in a while. I know he's listening, but I haven't talked to him.
Hey, Mickey. You're so fine. You blow my mind.
I hope you're clean, Mickey.
Watching out for you, buddy.
Come on, Mickey.
So that song is like kind of light and jumping and
it is.
Happy.
It sounds like it sounds like kind of like a Bangles song.
And then Mickey Rourke comes rolling in with this nightmare-fueled.
Yeah.
Bodies all covered in scabs and the name of Trotsky and, you know, all kinds of
and
awful
his,
things.
And the tone in which he delivers the street is very robotic.
Poor little bodies all covered in scabs. Go out of the way.
How about you sell
making my love?
Making my love.
Shit's a shining star.
Making my love. Rip off the scabs. Something else, yeah.
All right, what's next, Jake?
Oh, boy. Okay, we have our last... Are we on our last one?
Yeah.
All right. We've been telling the story of the song after we play it, but I just have to... this requires just a second of explanation. So Bob Dylan made some truly terrible music throughout the late 70s, certainly almost all of the 80s, and then even into the 90s a little bit. But that all ended when he made an album called Time Out of Mind. In 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And he really, like, since then has not made bad music. There's not, like, a bad song that he's ever made since then. Except for one little album, and I wish I had my jingle bells with, called Christmas in the Heart.
Oh.
What you're about to hear is Bob Dylan attempting to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Just too good to stop.
That was a really good one. That was really.
Was
I'm just
really
picturing
bad.
Some poor engineer being like, "All right, Bob, well, you only hit the note like a third of the time in that
maybe,
last run. Can
maybe.
We do it again?
No,
no, no. He sounds like Iggy Pop.
He sounds terrible.
He sounds like Iggy Pop sounding terrible.
And Bob, you know, Bob gets made fun of throughout his entire career for not being a good singer, which is just not true. But he can't hit any of that.
Idiosyncratic, Jake.
He can't hit the low ones, he can't hit the middle ones, and he certainly can't hit that. It was like,
he
he's like, he's like yelling and screaming. Anyway, he ruined Christmas, even though I listen to this every Christmas.
Jake.
Yeah.
You know what would be a good idea for
What's that
song?
Yeah.
Or maybe Bob Dylan should take one of his best known songs.
Yeah.
and remix it like 15 years later.
He never does that, but you're saying he should do that.
Maybe get some hot young rappers to rap over the top of it.
Oh man, he was into the NWA for a little bit. Do you think that he could get them back together?
Maybe. If anybody could, it's Bob Dylan.
I bet that he's one of the only people that could actually do that.
Anyway,
okay.
David Bowie in 1990 took his song Fame.
I've heard of it.
Very famous song, written with John Lennon.
Yeah.
One of his best known songs.
Yeah, John Lennon, I know.
And remixed it many times. And we're going to listen to one, Fame 90, it's called. Fame 90.
Yeah.
From an EP, or no, it's a non-album and single. Okay. And we're going to listen to one with the rap prowess of, I mean, to be fair, someone who actually has rap prowess.
Right.
Biggie Rourke. Queen Latifah.
Slap at the bass. Here comes Queen Latifah.
Fame? I
want to
be famous. I want to be famous. There's a lot of slap bass in that, baby.
Hey, can we Fame 23 remix?
Oh, well, I'm thinking this
can
is
we do
the,
that?
The next BBD. Coming soon from BBD Records, Fame 23.
I think
starring the two of us completely a cappella.
I think that would have been worse, and it is bad, but it's not as bad as some of the other ones we've heard. It would be worse if that was the eighth or ninth time that I've heard a different remix in a row.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
It just what the worst thing about it, I think, is that it's so craven. It was so like of the time. Like we're gonna do a billion remixes of one of my favorite songs. And we're going to invite all the hot young rappers to come along for the ride.
No, I want to show you the album cover really quick here, too. Because we got Bowie, like standing up, but man spreading, which he did a lot in a lot of photos of that day for some reason, over a picture of the cover of Aladdin Sane, which has nothing to do with Fame whatsoever.
Right. It's like him over a persona that has nothing to do with
Fame. Fame is on Young America. It's not on Aladdin.
If you'll recall.
All right. We're ready for the real deal here, Jake, I think.
But first we got to get up and stand like David Bowie is in that picture.
Okay.
For the entirety of the thing. Here, let's do that. Let's just shuffle around for a second.
Oh, you got to get those legs wider, Jake.
I'm sorry.
Wider. Go.
I'm not as tall as David Bowie.
Wider.
Splits.
Splits. Go.
Splits. So how long did he stand around like this for photo shoots?
A long time based on how many pictures he appears in like this.
Okay. I feel better.
My legs kind of hurt.
I feel better. I feel like I've had my exercise for the day now. By standing like that for 20 seconds.
I think I pulled a hammy.
Yeah. Can we get a picture of our old selves behind us while we do that, please?
Yeah, we can.
Cool. All right, is this it?
Yeah, we're ready.
Are we doing it?
For the real deal.
All right. I don't know what to say. You know, I feel like it's already been so bad. And now it's going to be... Oh, you know what we do need?
All right, listeners. Jake is bad at counting.
So bad at counting.
Really bad at counting.
I'm the worst at counting. So I was looking through my bottom five songs, and I realized I had six of them. And if I had been smart and good at counting, I would have moved it over to the dishonorable mention list. So you get one more dishonorable mention.
Oh.
Just one. This is from a 1978 album by Bob Dylan called Street Legal. This is one where he's peering around the corner looking to see if he could buy some drugs. And this is called Baby, Stop Crying.
All right, now,
there
Jake,
you have it.
I'm going to put together a little montage here of this song real quick.
Yeah.
Because while I was listening to it, I wanted it to, please stop playing.
Bob,
stop playing. Stop playing. Stop playing. Stop playing.
Baby, please stop crying.
Stop crying.
Yeah, stop crying.
There we go. That's it.
That song isn't even that bad, except that he and his backup singers say stop crying, I don't know, 100 times.
We didn't even listen to the whole thing.
The entire chorus is just like, stop crying,
just
stop
crying.
Just stop.
It ironically made me want to start crying. All right, well, let's trade things up here, and I'll take things over here, Jake, and we'll still end up in the right spot.
Let's go for it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, Not number five, because you're gonna. Jake is going to rank them for me.
That's right.
As a writer of how we're gonna do this.
This is your first.
My first pick off my list of the bottom five songs is, in my opinion, the worst song that Bowie ever released in the 70s. In his golden period from 69 to 1980.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's an atrocious cover of Across the Universe from the Beatles, from the album Young Americans. Okay. And what makes it even worse, John Lennon is playing on this song.
Ooh, John Lennon
didn't. John freaking Lennon.
He didn't know where he was, though.
Is right on there.
He had just come from Harry Nilsson's house. All right, well, I'd like to say that I'd like to go across the universe to not have to hear that song.
Oh, geez, sir.
Oh, my gosh. Copyright infringement, sir. So I'll rank it later, but I'd say we'll do some pros and cons. Pros, okay backing band action.
Yeah.
You know, some real nice acoustic style, especially the rhythm section.
Yeah.
I was not a super fan of the, you know, the kind of screaming guitar, like thirds, you know, double guitar action that makes me think of like butt rock and stuff like that, even though this predated that. The absolute worst part about it was the yelping, kind of desperate to please vocal performance.
Nothing!
I mean, John Lennon might have been sitting there, and David Bowie, even though John Lennon was probably on all the drugs at the time and didn't know where he was, David Bowie was like, watch this, Johnny. Watch this. I'm gonna let you in on how the magic gets made around
now, here. Now here's the thing, Jake. This was recorded exactly the same sessions as Fame.
The same ones.
The same ones.
Okay.
With John Lennon present, they recorded two songs.
Yep.
Fame and this monstrosity.
This is a monstrosity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Fame is good.
Fame is good.
Across the Universe.
Oh, everyone.
Not so good.
Fame is good.
Yeah.
Across the Universe, not so good. Again, in my opinion,
nothing's gonna change my vibe.
This, the people are really gonna have to turning up and down their,
I know.
their earbuds on this one.
I am sensing a theme, and the theme is vocal performances, which are very, you know, try hard.
Yeah.
Some try hard vocal performance so far.
Well, speaking of try hard, why don't we move things back over onto Bob Dylan? I'm sure he's trying really hard on whatever song.
You know what? I would say that that's not the case with this song.
Okay.
Because we have to get a representative off the original and best, and by that I mean worst, Self Portrait. That's the album called Self Portrait by Bob Dylan. It was something of a comeback album for him, and then everyone hated it. And there's a reason why. And one of the reasons is that he put like demo versions of songs that shouldn't even be on Odds and Sods albums. They're just bad. And the best representative that I can think of is a song called In Search of Little Sadie, which is a folk song, a very old song. And Bob Dylan tried this song during this period several times, like multiple times, several of which were very good, but that he didn't put on any of the albums. So those would come
a theme.
That would come later with the bootleg series, and we're all like, oh, so that's maybe what he was going for. But at the time, this is what popped out. This is In Search of Little Sadie.
That was really something right there.
Is it indescribable? I feel like that one's more confusing than anything else.
Like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. There's no structure to the song at all.
Nope.
It just kind of rambles around, key changes all over the place for no reason.
So many key changes. I feel like I should count the key changes.
You should count the key changes sometime.
There's like maybe 10 key changes in a 2.5 minute song.
And, I mean, what most strikes you is Bob's careless disregard for pitches of any kind.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that he hits the correct pitch even once that entire song.
No, he starts off on the wrong foot, and then he changes keys so many times that he can never get back to shore.
But it's not just him, because there's some really amateurish guitar work going on in the back row, too, that apparently is not played by him.
No, that's a guy named David Bromfeld, who Dylan did some very nice work with. As kind of his like little lead guitar buddy, he'd have him
little
come.
Buddy.
Yeah, he had a little buddy,
yep.
And he would come along, and he would either follow what Bob was trying to do, or not follow what Bob was trying to do, which is the story of many of his band members over the years. But that is just, it's just bad.
It's really bad.
Like, there's several stylistic changes. All of a sudden, it's like a swinging kind of like...
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of a thing. Right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what, Jake?
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you with something also horrible.
Okay.
Now, Bowie's got multiple covers in these top five worst songs he ever did. We already did Across the Universe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're going to kick things off with another one. And this one was a humongous hit single on top of it.
Wait, that he did?
It's his collaboration with Mick Jagger. Their cover of Dancing in the Street. Now, notably with Dancing in the Street,
baby,
is the entire thing was recorded in less than 6 hours. Like, they did nothing. Didn't even know what song they were going to play. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe they knew what song they were going to play. But didn't do any rehearsals, none of any kind. Went in there, cut the entire song in 6 hours.
Yeah.
Then immediately went and recorded the music video afterwards. Straight from the studio.
Pretty impressive, to be honest.
The video is really impressively bad. It's a very so bad it's good video.
Yeah.
Really, really entertaining. Wildly entertaining.
Wildly entertaining.
I'm going to recommend, while listening to the song, you head over to YouTube and watch the video along with it. Because, it's a real beauty.
It's like they found a parking lot and a building and they're like, guys, just dance in here.
And so then they did the video in, I don't know, 8 hours or something. But the entire project was done in like half a day. The entire thing.
And they're still cashing those checks, baby.
Still cashing those checks.
It's really hard to think that we're going to have a better time today.
You keep
replaying these bad boys.
I'm not paying attention. It's because my kids listen to my Apple music account. And they kept turning on to repeat.
Right. I've had that happen.
So I just listened to my music, and then all of a sudden the settings have been changed.
That's right. And so that's your poor excuse for listening to Dancing in the Street over and over and over again?
Yeah. I'm going to go with that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
legit.
All right. So first off, I love how they just scream at the top of their lungs the cities across the world at the beginning so that maybe they will actually hear them, you know, like whatever.
Well, I would,
in Germany.
I would like to remind you that this was a Live Aid song. This was done for Live Aid and raised a lot of money for probably a good thing.
That was the same Live Aid that Bob Dylan showed up drunk with Ronnie Wood and somebody else.
And
Keith Richards, maybe?
Bowie stayed home and got drunk with Mick Jagger, so, you know.
They both contributed something. It seems like David Bowie's is a little more lasting than Bob Dylan's. It was one of the worst
concerts. Originally intending to do a live, like, collab. Like, one of them was going to be in New York, one of them was the other one was going to be in London.
I see.
They were going to sing together.
I see.
But then the lag, like, made it impossible.
Yeah. Well, they could have been across the Atlantic and screamed, and they probably could have heard each other from across there.
There's still the sonic
Motor lag. City!
They may be able to hear each other, but there's still the lag, the distance the sound has to go.
Right. That's a good point.
Jumping in the street!
Wait for it. Oh, there it is.
Philadelphia, PA! Detroit! Jake, I would like to share with you some of the many, many bands that have covered this song.
Oh yeah, this is a well.
So it's originally by Martha and the Vandellas.
That's the best one. You could just stop right
Marvin
there.
Marvin Gaye is involved.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, baby. Oh,
we
yeah,
got
baby.
On here on this list here: the Kinks, the Mamas and the Papas, the Tages. I don't know.
Never
who
heard
is.
Of them.
I don't know who that is. Next up, we've got the Grateful Dead.
What?
Little Richard.
Heard of him.
Van Halen.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one. It's really bad. It's almost as bad as this one.
We got David Bowie and Mick Jagger here.
Definitely.
That one gets a longer section here because it was a hit. Myra? I don't know who Myra is. Okay, then we're done. But can you think of, like, any other such disparate group of musicians doing the same song than that right there?
Not right off the top of my head. There were a whole bunch of different bands that did, like, Proud Mary, for instance. Maybe not as different of styles as all of these. I just want to say the best and worst part about this song is that these two divas, these two peacocks, these two preening, narcissists are just dancing around each other, trying to one-up each other so bad.
At all times.
So frenemy. Style. They're dancing, their clothes, they're jumping off of railings for each other. It's all just for them. It's just for each other. And they're just, I just, picture them like yelling and singing and screaming and growling about an inch from each other's faces.
And then kissing a little
bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just maybe, you know. Just like, whoa, what happened here?
They're big time frenemies, those two.
Whoa, you know, I'm not mad at.
By that time, not as much. In the 70s, it was way worse.
Oh, yeah. And this song is Max. It's just Max. It went up to 11. The knob went up to 11 on everything.
And it went up to 12.
The horns, the backup singers, the guitar. Obviously, them. They're at 11. Every single thing. And so I kind of salute and applaud Dancing in the Street.
Okay. All right. Well.
Okay. All right. Next up for Bob Dylan is something. I mean, you can have fun with this one, Chaz. You go ahead. You can have fun with it.
Thank you. I will.
In 1979, Bob Dylan. Well, the end of 1978, found Jesus.
Oh, and yeah,
what he did was release a trilogy of albums. With, you know, slightly decreasing emphasis on his Christianity. But the first one is called Slow Train Coming. Mm. It's 100% born again Christian. And not only that, Chaz, but on one of the songs, at least one, he brought in a little musical style from the Caribbean that no white dude should ever attempt. And yet so many did.
Except for Elvis Costello and Waiting for the Watching the Detectives.
Yeah, it's a good song.
That's the only one.
Yeah.
That's the that's the exception.
Fine. You can have that one.
Yep.
Bob Dylan cannot have it. Eric Clapton can't have it.
David Bowie can't have it.
I'm sure the Rolling Stones tried it. I wouldn't even listen to their attempt. Yeah. We got a little reggae influence on an original song by Bob Dylan called Man Gave Names to All the Animals. Don't save all the good stuff for off mic, Chaz.
Now, Jake, I'd like you to remind me really quick. How many Nobel Prizes has Bob Dylan won?
Well, I don't have my notes
for
with
lyrics.
Me. Let me check your notes too. It's around here, son. The answer. Yes, he's won one Nobel Prize for Literature. It was
in
2016.
How many other musicians have won a Nobel Prize for Literature?
For Literature? You mean because musicians don't normally win for Literature?
Yeah, correct.
You break my phone. Oh, sorry. Zero. None. None of them have. Okay. Only him.
And who wrote Man Gave Names to All of the Animals?
I don't even have to check. It's Bob Dylan.
These lyrics are really something.
No, but weren't you shocked when inside of the rhyme scheme you discovered that the milk pouring out of an animal was a cow?
I said, wow! I think I'll call it a cow!
I think I'll call it a cow!
I love that it was like four barnyard animals. And then the unnamed at the end, though, spoiler alert everybody, it's clearly referring to a snake.
Yeah, it's Satan though. Satan snake.
Maybe.
No, yes. Yes.
That is not even implied, Jake. That is a big jump right there.
I think that you're a fool for not. The world is ending, and here you are, trying not to see the thing that's right in front of your eyes, which is the snake is Satan.
You know what I was just thinking right now is that that animal over there, it feels like there's nothing it couldn't pull. Oh, I'm a bull. I like there's a version of the cow and the bull separately.
Right. And nobody else.
Because they're not the same animal.
Yeah. He won't do small and he won't come too big. Oh, I think I'll call him a pig. Over a very light
sanitized. He can walk
sanitized,
on some of the steep.
The lightly.
I think I'll call it a sheep.
The lightly sanitized reggae beat just flowing behind. Just like doom, chaka, doom, chaka, doom, chaka,
doom, chaka, doom, chaka, doom. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jake.
A truly wonderful song.
All right.
And by that,
so
I mean,
this next one coming up is, I don't know, slightly unfair.
What?
But I don't care. I don't care. Just wait. I'll explain it, Jake. I'll explain
it. Gee whiz, man. I thought that we were.
So the 1995 album Outside is an overall a really good album, actually. But it's got this loose rock opera-ish story that you can't possibly discern what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it includes various dialogue swatches through these segs.
I'm not following you.
Out of the many different characters that are inside of there, mm-hmm. and they talk, and it's Bowie every single time talking in character as one of these different characters.
Okay.
So they're all pretty awful.
Does it turn out that he has multiple personality disorder?
No, nothing that clear happens at any point in the story whatsoever.
Gotcha.
But by far the worst one is Seg Baby Grace, in parentheses, a horrid cassette.
Oh, no.
It's from the album Outside from 1995, in which Bowie pretends to be a young girl.
Chaz, I feel like we were having fun with uh-huh. Man gave name to all the animals.
Yeah, we
and
were.
Now you just, a good time. You just ruined it.
We're having a good time with Dancing the Street, and then Man gave name to
the animals. We were doing okay. We were really, people were dancing.
And Bowie doesn't want that. Bowie wants you to have fun.
That was probably the most clear and present buzzkill that I've ever experienced. That was horrific. It was nightmare fuel. Uh-huh. I feel really uncomfortable having listened to it. I wanted it to stop.
Yep.
There's no reason for that to exist.
Yeah.
And did he even have the decency to have Mick Ronson rip those tasty licks behind him?
Mick Ronson was dead at that point.
See? So now what? A bigger bummer there never could be.
If I had the album with me at the point, there's pictures of him dressed up as all these characters also. With some really bad 90s, like...
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
He dressed up as the baby?
Well, it's not a baby. I don't remember if she's 13 or something. She's called Baby Grace.
That's a nickname.
Yeah, but he's dressed up with all of them, and there's some really bad, like, 90s Photoshop effects on everything.
That. Well, is that supposed to make me feel better? Because it doesn't.
No.
No.
This whole, like, we talked about the 90s and how weird they are with some popular culture stuff, and people like Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie and people like that being gigantic stars. Mm-hmm.
And there was
like, horror stuff. And the whole basic story of this album, which doesn't make any sense because you lose the story almost immediately, was about this detective tracking down perpetrators of art crimes, where they're, like, using murder as art. And I think somebody kidnaps Baby Grace in there. Mm-hmm.
I kept picturing the revamped cover of Toy speaking in that voice.
That is a picture there.
Now that made it fun again.
I am never sleeping again, but that was
Excellent. All right, I'm gonna try to bring the mood up here.
Yeah, let's bring it up a little bit.
This is Bob Dylan from 1985, one of his worst albums. Empire Burlesque. Thank you very much. This is one of the many bad songs on the album. It was a little hard to choose, but I think I found the worst one. This is called Emotionally Yours. Okay.
Okay, so this one was not as bad as the others.
Okay. Yeah.
I mostly found it bland.
Yes.
It's very bland. It's 80s drenched.
Yes. Yes.
Just soaked to the skin in 80s everything.
Absolutely. That's like the sound of 12 people, 7 or 8 of them unnecessarily in the studio, just kind of doing stuff,
just
you know?
Doing
like
stuff
can
in
we,
there.
Can we program some strings here? Can somebody, one of
I
you guys.
I like the strings. I'll be honest with the strings.
I know.
But there's too much.
Exactly.
All the time.
Exactly. And this is just, to me, it's not necessarily... The production value is actually pretty stinking high.
Yeah,
especially for Bob Dylan.
Yep.
Even his best work doesn't sound wonderful.
Until the end, he actually sings decently, too.
Right.
It was not until the end when the vocals start falling apart.
Emotionally yours.
He does a better job earlier on. He's doing all right.
Yeah, this to me...
It feels very forgettable.
It's forgettable, and it is bland. And to me, that's like pretty much... It's not as bad as Bob Dylan can get, but it's one of the worst shades of Bob Dylan. It's when he was just writing
more
these
representative
like,
of an entire period.
There was no teeth to the lyrics, there was no metaphors or anything like that. It was just like a really bland mid-80s love song. And it's the sound of him kind of searching around and trying to get his life back together, and it wasn't working. So, what are you going to do?
What are you gonna do?
I mean, but look at his face on the cover of Empire Burlesque. He's really, he's so non-committal.
Hey, it's really nice.
He's like, I might have written songs.
That's cool.
Hey, baby. I mean, is this the face that says, I'm emotionally yours?
It actually is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Uh-huh.
Like, I do feel like he's emotionally mine.
I'm kind of
I do feel like
hey, I'm here for you, baby.
Yeah, I got
that. I'm here for you. He was the most nasally during this time. The mid-80s were just, they weren't kind to him. Uh-huh. And they weren't kind.
All right, well, we're going to bring up the energy here, Jake.
All right, cool. Did that make you feel better or worse than Seg Baby Grace?
Well, nothing made me feel worse than Baby Grace. Nothing. It just made me feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, just like I'm still here, still sitting here.
You're back in reality, at least.
Back in reality. Uh-huh. And we're going to move things into Bowie's best-known horrible song, probably his most infamous horrible song.
Oh, it's happening.
His pre-fame.
It's happening.
Vera Speed, drenched, Alvin the Chipmunk style.
Here comes.
Song. The Laughing Gnome, a non-album single from 1967. Mm-hmm. The Laughing Gnome.
I mean, I don't know what to say, Chaz.
Well, I would like to first get the opinion of a six-year-old fan of the podcast who wandered in during the recording.
Who also doesn't know what podcasts are.
That's all right.
And trying to get information about that.
Molly, what did you think of the song that just played?
It was very weird, and I did not know what to say.
I mean, that just kind of sums it up,
doesn't
it? Is
there anything more to say? I'm just wondering a couple things about David Bowie at this time. What if that was a gigantic hit and he had stayed in that mode?
Oh, there have been people who speculated on that one right there.
If he went the direction of like just truly silly, almost like Weird Al, Dr. Demento.
Well, it's totally,
kind of
this
thing.
Novelty.
A
novelty artist.
Uh huh. I mean,
there are so many what ifs in his early years of like, what would happen if this, you know, what. Said it was Space Oddity was the thing that finally like
that's
did
right.
something, and
which
was started is what really blew him up.
Right, which was weird, but not this weird.
Because and he was he was almost on different like a TV show host, like a kids TV show host, and he was doing opera, but he was doing all.
He could have been like Captain Kangaroo.
He was doing mime. He was doing so many different things. He was trying to get into acting in different ways.
Yeah.
It really like. We're lucky to have gotten the David Bowie we got. Let me tell you.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, personally, I think that he should have stayed in this mode.
Sure.
The only other thing I'll say about it is it's clearly, like, desperate novelty. Like, oh, please, think this is funny. I mean, I'm a deep appreciator of puns, and those are some truly bad ones. So
really bad puns.
I applaud him on that.
You plunomin.
No,
oh, no, you didn't.
No, I won't applaud that. No, no. What do you think about gnomes, Molly?
I don't know what gnomes are, Dad. You are just so weird.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Speaking of so weird, actually, we're gonna muck things up a little bit here. It's not as boring as the last Bob Dylan song, but this is truly like, in a way, it mirrors the Laughing Gnome. Just bear with me here. In that this song from Bob Dylan, I think was trying to be funny, but turned out it didn't sound very funny to me.
It was very
ill-advised, and it was off the mark, and it sounds terrible.
Uh-huh.
This is the classic Bob Dylan track, "The Ugliest Girl in the World."
Like, bad taste in my mouth from that song right there.
Isn't that good? You like that?
No.
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 I don't think anybody does.
I don't know.
I think it was in poor taste then, and now it's in really poor taste.
Really poor taste now.
Yeah.
I mean, getting the backup singer, Stephen, just like,
yeah.
She's so ugly.
Gotta be ugly.
Gotta be ugly.
Only ugly.
Only, I don't even know only ugly.
Only ugly? Like, that's the only reason that he would be with her?
Yeah, the six-year-old in the room who laughed partway through the song. I don't blame her. I thought about it myself. She's there.
Yeah.
That's really mean, Daddy.
That's mean.
And it is. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Molly's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the whole thing, it's distasteful.
It's just distasteful.
Yeah. There's nothing funny about it.
No,
there's not even really a pro to it.
No.
I think it was supposed to be funny.
But it's not.
Right. But what would have even been funny about it? Like, I think there's this kind of strain of maybe blues or something that's, I don't know. I don't get it.
All right. Well, I fortunately can end things on a little higher note.
All right, great.
with another cover, our third cover in the top five. And it's hilariously bad cover of the classic Beach Boys song, God Only Knows, which Bowie covered in 1984 for his really, really awful album, Tonight.
Okay, that was really bad.
It certainly was.
It's very bad various reasons. I'd say, looking at it from a distance, I'd say that's a lounge act gone wrong.
Oh yeah.
Like, speaking of things that Bowie, I guess, could have done. He was obviously famous, very famous by then. But I can just see him like at a little dive bar on like a Saturday night with his little band, and he's just like covering God Only Knows and warbling. I think that maybe that song is a little bit ahead of its time because it sounds like a bad outcome of like an artificial intelligence.
I was thinking Richard Cheese, but yeah.
You feed all this information into the machine and it spits out, you know, like give us a late 80s cover of God Only Knows.
Oh, it was early. It was 84.
84.
Mid-80s.
Yeah, the synths are like badly programmed and cheesy.
Yep.
Just super cheesy. Everything about it.
Yep.
Oh, cheesy.
Well, the thing is,
I'm getting constipated. It's so cheesy.
That line belongs in this list right there, Jake.
Thank you.
This may be the most phoned-in track on our list thus far, out of all of them.
It's very phoned-in.
Because he was just barely there. On that album, Tonight, he just barely had anything to do with it. They were like, called him in, he sang some songs, he left. And that was it.
Like, David, can we get you to just care for 3 minutes about this cover of God Only Knows?
We were talking about the saxophone playing, and I told Jake that I wished I could say that he played that, but he probably didn't, because, you know.
We both know that that didn't happen.
That didn't happen, not at that point.
He's like,
he played sax on some of his other albums, but
I'm
not that one.
So tired of this. I'm so tired of being rich and famous.
I would really rather go swim in my money.
Could I just swim in my money, then?
I'd like to swim in my money.
God only knows what I'd be without you.
There it is. That's number five on the list, Jake.
All right.
So
now,
you give us our fifth one, and then we will give our rankings, and we might be done in less than an hour.
Probably like a billion years from now.
Well, that's not counting people pausing and listening to all the songs in between.
That sounds good. So I'm gonna do something a little, you know, off
chain.
The beaten path here.
Up the hook,
so
up the
there
chain.
are two songs. I'm just gonna make you listen to the beginning of each of them, or you maybe just, you know what? You get to decide based on the title. There are two songs off of Bob Dylan's worst album called Under the Red Sky.
I already know which
they're
one.
They're both purported children's songs.
Uh-huh.
One is called Wiggle
Wiggle.
Wiggle
Wiggle, I want Wiggle Wiggle.
What about Handy Dandy? You don't even want to listen to Handy Dandy first?
Maybe I'll listen to the beginning of the speech then.
All right, that's what we're going to do. We'll see you in a sec. So, Chaz, which one did you choose between Wiggle Wiggle and Handy Dandy?
I chose Wiggle Wiggle. Oh. I told you I would.
Great choice.
Man of my word.
A terrible, great choice. So what do you think?
Well, it was just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It's just a lot of him singing about Wiggle Wiggle Wiggle.
Wiggle Wiggle.
It's supposed to be a children's song, is what you said.
Well, purportedly. The thing with the children's song is that people were trying to justify the existence of Under the Red Sky, which is an album he made directly after Daniel Lanois revived his career with the album Oh Mercy. And he said, I'll show you, Daniel. And he made the worst album of his entire career. There's not one good song on it.
Uh-huh.
And so I think people were casting about, like, why does this exist? It got pretty existential. Like, what happened here?
Uh-huh.
And so they thought that maybe a couple of them were children's songs. But it turns out that, you know, they may very well have been, but they were for a family that he was hiding and possibly like keeping a little bit too out of the public eye. He may have locked them in like a mansion or something like that and told them not to come out. So that's weird too, right? Like a children's, kind of an abusive children's song, I'm not sure.
Well, because if it's a children's song, like, I think a lot of it can be taken as really uncomfortably sexually.
Correct.
There's a lot going on in that wiggle
on your hands and knees and stuff.
Yeah, yep. Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ew.
Icky.
Uh-huh. Gross.
But what a fun backbeat that song is.
Huh? It does have a fun backbeat.
Yeah.
Okay.
It really does. Those wonderfully gated drums and such. Yeah. I know. Just confusing. Confusing and bad.
All right, well, Jake.
Uh-huh.
I have to ask you if you have your top five tabulated here.
I don't. In order. Do you have yours?
I do have mine in order.
All right, I'm going to pause for just a second, get mine going.
All right.
I'm back.
Giving a careful study to Dylan's bottom five tracks.
And by that you mean like the 30 seconds in between. Well, you already had your list. I needed 30 seconds.
Well, yeah, sure. But I mean, listen to all of the songs.
In their entirety.
In their entirety, yeah. Mind you.
That's the dedication that we bring to this podcast for you.
Is to one time listen to these really good songs.
Right.
Yep. Here is my order.
Okay.
In number five, mm-hmm. I've got Emotionally Yours.
Mm.
It was mostly just bland. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as in-your-face awful mm-hmm. as some of the others. Mm-hmm. And so that put it down to number five.
It's more representative of an entire decade of badness than something aggressively bad. Mm-hmm.
In number four, we've got Man Gave Names to All the Animals.
Oh,
the writing is terrible, but he sings okay. And
you had a laugh.
It had a good laugh on it. It was really...
That was a good laugh.
For the wrong reasons, but it had a really...
It was one of the best laughs we've had.
It was entertaining.
Today.
In number five, we've got...
Number three.
Wiggle Wiggle. Or number three. Number three, we got the fifth song you played. Wiggle Wiggle.
Ooh.
It's ridiculous. It's uncontrolled. Possibly sexual. But...
But it could also be about a child locked in a closet. So, there's that.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope that's all it is.
Let's hope that's all it is. So I was expecting Wiggle Wiggle to be, to be number one, but nope, it's not. We had a couple songs that were worse than that.
Yeah, bringing the heat.
Bringing the heat. And number two, The Ugliest Girl in the World.
Ooh.
It's in such bad taste. It's just, the music's not awful, but the lyrics are so bad.
Yeah, and it does go on forever.
It goes on for a long time. It does. It feels like it, yes. But that puts in number one.
Number one.
In Search of Little Sadie.
Wow.
In Search of Little Sadie just had nothing going for it at all. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, the song makes no sense. It's just jumping around key changes all over the place. Everyone sounds like they're drunk. Everybody involved in that song sounds like they're drunk.
Yeah, but they're also trying hard at the same time.
They are.
They're not, like, lazily drunk. They're like, no.
But that's why it's aggressively in your face.
It is.
Because everything involved in this song is awful. And while it's entertaining, it's entirely 100% for the wrong reasons. You can't even just say, like, well, the backing band was doing solid. You know, there was a good beat on that one.
Right,
which all the other ones
have. Which a couple of the Bowie ones have going for.
You can say something like that. Uh-huh. In Search of Little Sadie, you can say nothing like that for any of them.
I agree.
So, number one worst song.
Yeah. In related news, that's the album that everyone hated, and it sold, like, 6 million copies or something like that. That's
right.
Self-Portrait.
Well, so did Tonight.
That's Self-Portrait, baby.
So did Bowie's Tonight.
Obviously. All right. So thank you for your ranking.
Yeah.
I think that was a good idea. I'm glad we did that. I don't think I would have had those in that order. So
what
that's
would
nice.
What did you put in number one? Do you have one?
I think The Ugliest Girl in the World is number one. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most aggressively bad. In Search of Little Sadie, you know, for all intents and purposes, was an outtake that he just happened to think was a good idea to put on an album. So I guess you give it points for that. Mm. Ugliest Girl in the World, fully produced. A lot of stuff going on there. He got the backup singers to come in and sing about how ugly the girl was.
It was not just some, side man noodling around on a guitar.
Exactly. Okay. He, brought people in and he's like, hey, I got a good idea for you. Why don't you sing the word ugly about a woman, over and over again?
Uh-huh.
All right. I think that would have been number one.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, let's go over to Bowie. What we got here, Jake?
Coming on over, number five of the worst songs that were presented to me, I believe it's Dancing in the Streets.
Okay.
But only because I had a great time. I had a great time imagining them.
It's like Man Gave Names to All the Animals.
Yeah,
it's really fun.
Exactly. A couple peacocks just preening.
For the wrong reasons, but still lots of fun.
For all the wrong reasons. Four... Even though it is clearly the worst one on the list, but it is a segue. I had to put Baby Grace a horror cassette.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
It's not a real song.
Well, and like I said, I said that when I presented it. It wasn't fair.
Exactly.
It also represents all of the...
Exactly. But it was like so so distasteful that I'd much rather listen to Dancing in the Streets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
In fact, I think I'd probably listen to...
I'd rather listen to any of the songs than that.
Correct. Listen. But it's not a real song, so it can't be the worst of all time. Mm-hmm. All right. Number three, and this is where I'm getting a little... I think I'm going to put Across the Universe at number three.
Okay.
Because the rhythm section sounds like a mid-70s... It's at least real music.
They're doing solid work.
Yes. Yeah. They're doing the best that they can.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing where, you know, Bowie, throughout his career, I think, tried to, like, before he got as famous as anybody, maybe he was at this point. It seemed like he was trying to...
He was like,
hey, I want to be friends with John Lennon. Let's do this. And then, of course, they wrote Fame together, which is a really good song.
Yeah, yep.
I just felt like he was trying to impress John Lennon the entire time. While
That's
he was
probably
singing.
True.
Yeah, and I don't know. It seemed a little desperate. But it's not as bad as The Laughing Gnome, which I put at number two.
Number two, yep. Laughing Gnome.
Yep, mm-hmm. It's bad. It's desperate. It's weird on purpose. It's full of terrible puns. That was probably a lot of work to do that variable tone thing that the chipmunks do.
To speed it up, yeah.
Yeah, and to insert it in there. That wasn't easy with tape.
It's not entirely clear who did the vocals. I always assumed it was Bowie, but I guess there's some...
It wasn't him.
There's some, I don't know, speculation that it was like some engineer or something instead. But I don't know.
Should we ask Bowie about it?
I think we should. Let's get out the Ouija board. Always distasteful here on this episode.
I feel like if we tried to contact Bowie, he would come back as Baby Grace.
Yeah, he would refuse.
And it would be a whole
movie. Refused to talk about Laughing Gnome for a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's juvenilia.
He was so embarrassed by it.
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think it's quite as bad as my number one song. God only knows. God only knows why this exists.
Uh-huh. How's that? I would have put that at number one also.
Yeah,
I was waiting to see if Laughing Gnome was going to make it, but God only knows.
No.
It's so bad.
Because Laughing Gnome, you at least, like... Your ears are tuned in a little bit to how bad it is, and it makes it a little bit fun. You don't want to listen to it too many times
also,
in a row.
He's a kid. Like, you got to give him a little bit of...
Exactly.
You
he's
know,
trying.
God knows he's an adult. He's gone through all of his best years already.
Yeah. And he's not even on drugs or anything. It's
no,
just,
he's clean.
Yeah.
Completely he should clean know, by that time.
He should have known better.
He should have known better.
And he didn't.
He did not.
Or maybe he did, but he went against
he
his better
care.
Judgment.
And
he
somebody,
didn't care.
Somebody just dumped a... Dump truck full of money in his front yard.
Yeah,
and he was
there's
like,
really nothing
okay,
so,
let's go.
There's really nothing so bad as being that apathetic. And that vocal is truly terrible.
No, oh, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. It's God only knows what I'd be without you.
Sorry about you having to turn up and down your earbuds all the time.
I'm not sorry.
Listeners.
I'm not sorry at all.
Jake's not sorry, but I am. I care a little bit more.
Just yeah.
Some hosts care a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some hosts are in the middle of lunch and trying to wipe the taste of these bad songs out of their mouths.
With some good leftover pizza.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
Hey, well, listeners, you'll notice that if you didn't stop and listen to the songs in between, we've actually managed an hour-long episode.
Yeah, not too shabby.
It's the shortest episode in
That's because we
years.
Didn't plan for it at all. We're not bloviating. We don't have points to talk about.
No,
you know,
no points
anything
or anything.
Like that. Yeah.
So, it's been a pleasure as always. We'll at least see you for a 2023 episode in early 2024.
Yeah.
At the latest.
I will say we did have another actually good idea for this.
Yeah, well, don't say it now.
I won't.
In case we don't do it.
Just
or in case we
it
do
might,
do
it.
It
might
way.
Happen. It might
Either
happen.
Way.
It might
Either
happen.
Way.
It might happen. It might happen.
Listeners, I'm Charlie, and I like Bowie.
I'm Jake, and I love Dylan.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.